I'm Jim.
And I'm Frank.
And I'm Jerry.
And this is the JFJ Conspiracy Podcast, where the shop talk is rock. We are recording. It is episode 126.
Yes, we are.
And away we go.
We have injured Frank. What's going on?
You know, it's just getting old and banging into things and like got all of it. Yeah. Yeah. It's just everywhere you touch it, it's a raw nerve. So
ouch.
It's one of those things. Yeah. And it doesn't help with all the winds and stuff I have out here. Every finger's cracked open, my heels.
Yeah, everything's dry.
It's terrible. It's terrible. Now the rain's coming, so we'll see what happens.
Kind of moist it up a little, yeah.
Yeah. So this is episode 126. We have been delayed a bit. I wanna put this out here, and I'll flat out give myself up. We tried this once before, but I forgot to hit the record button. So my lovely wife, Cindy, put this on the monitor today.
Yes. Bless her heart. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, we did record last Monday. I wasn't going to say anything. I don't know why you...
I wasn't either.
Threw yourself under the bus there, brother.
Yes, sure I sure did. Hi, man. Well, you know, I had already contacted the bands that were going to play to let them know why they're delayed. Because sometimes they're eager to hear and spread the word, and they're wondering what's going on. So, anyways, since we last recorded, there was some sad news in the music world, and it's a bummer at our age that we have to talk about death, but it's part of life.
Yeah.
And Jim, why don't you share that information?
Yeah, Jim Ladd passed away. Yeah. And if you grew up here in LA listening to rock radio, you absolutely knew who Jim Ladd was.
Absolutely.
I think maybe even got a little better as he went along.
Well, he calmed down a little bit. He was very opinionated, always opinionated.
Yeah.
But he was always, I think, in a good frame of mind. He spoke the truth. And I think of, what was that DJ on WKRP in Cincinnati, Johnny Fever
was Jim Ladd.
I kind of think that was taken from a little Jim Ladd and molded from that whole FM personality, because Jim Ladd personified FM radio.
Yep.
If you're not familiar with Jim Ladd, he was kind of the last freeform radio guy. He programmed his own show, picked all of his own music, and he would string together songs that had some sort of thread,
a tie-in, always
common thread across, and in between he would do these sort of, I don't know if it was scripted or not, but it came off as like very stream of consciousness. He would just speak and talk a little bit about how things, you know, what he was feeling and how these songs kind of tied together. And I believe the Tom Petty song Last DJ was written about Jim Ladd.
I think you're right. I think you're right. He's also the DJ on Radio Chaos by Roger Waters. As you guys know, one of my favorite albums. He plays the DJ on that album, and it's him to a T. He's doing himself. So it's funny because that style of radio is gone. He lost, millions and millions of fans when the talk radio took over, and people just left radio for the longest time.
Yeah, he ended up on satellite, rightly so. So if you wanted to find him, you could find him, but there wasn't any place left for him on terrestrial radio.
No way.
No.
If you talk to anybody now who's in radio, you'll know that programming directors keep an extremely tight rein on what gets played and what doesn't get played. There's not room for DJs to
it's corporate
to branch out and do something different or slip another song in, not without getting some sort of reprimand, right? Like.
Right.
Can't get away with that stuff.
No, it was a different time, and
it was. Then we got.
It was a better time.
Wait, you ain't kidding, honey. You ain't kidding.
Go ahead, say it. Whatever, boomer.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, it was a better time.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, there's a meme out there that always says, no matter what and how bad your day is or whatever is going on, we were alive when the greatest bands in the world were up and playing live and making
their records. Their debuts.
Wow. What a time.
Just off the top of my head, Cars, Boston, Van Halen. We were alive, folks, when their first album came out. Oh,
exactly.
Oh.
Ah. Well.
Yeah, you know.
Let's jump right into some music. Jerry, what do you have for us?
Yes, sir, Jim and Frank. I have a band founded in Champaign, Illinois in 2010 called The Decadents, D-E-N-T-S, not N-C-S. The album, the tune is off of is Lost in Translation, and the song Frank's going to spin is Perfect Strangers. We got Mike Carpenter, guitars, vocals, Ben Donaldson, drums, Mike Solomon, bass, and vocals. Short bio, Decadents was formed in Champaign, Illinois in 2010, as I said. Since the band's inception, they've released 5 studio LPs and 1 live album. Their sound is heavily influenced from the grooves of their parents' vinyl collection, offering proof that a mix of guitars, bass, drums, and a little bit of elbow grease never goes out of style. All formats is Decadents-dash, the horizontal, .com. And again, the song is Perfect Strangers, Decadents, out of Champaign, Illinois.
The song is Perfect Strangers by Decadents. Mm-hmm. Wow. I like that. What did you think, Jim?
Loved it. Do you guys don't remember the Decadents? A band out of Covina? Time we were in high school? No.
That doesn't ring a bell.
Doesn't ring a bell. Oh. Well, this is crazy. Perfect Strangers. Immediately, I go right to Deep Purple, right?
Correct.
Right.
Very different, but I like the way this just kicks off and hauls from the get-go.
Yeah.
Well laid out song, well produced, well played. I like it. I like it.
Me too. I enjoyed everything about that. The vocals are crystal clear. I know Jerry loved the bass right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Everything is just such a delight to listen to. And
it sure is.
What, 3 minutes and change? Perfect.
Yep.
And they know how to end a song.
They do know how to end a song.
Just end the song.
Yeah. End it.
Yeah. All right. I know they're available on Bandcamp and other outlets, correct, Jerry?
Yes, all web, all platforms, decadence-band.com.
Is it dash or underscore?
Dash.
Okay, just checking.
Dash.
Okay.
Dash. And their first album recorded in their home studio, by the way, March and April. Yeah.
Well, they did a great job.
They sure did. Yeah.
All right. Hey, the last episode, we had a pick of Billy Idol for your top three songs.
Yes.
Was that Jerry? Or was it?
That was Jerry.
Yep.
Excellent. Excellent. So Jerry, why don't you tell us today what your top three Billy Idol songs are?
I shall. Hot in the City, Eyes Without a Face, Cradle of Love, and there's several more. There's probably five or six more that I could easily throw on this, but today, Hot in the City, Eyes Without a Face, Cradle of Love. Yep.
All right. For me, I went with To Be a Lover off of Whiplash Smile, and then two off of Rebel Yell, Do Not Stand in the Shadows, and Blue Highway. And those songs.
Brilliant.
Steve Stevens is just
That guy's
amazing. Yeah.
There's not a bad cut on Rebel Yell.
No, there really isn't.
Not really.
That's an excellent album.
It is an excellent album.
What about you, Jim? Where did you go with Billy Idol?
So Rebel Yell, title track.
Mm-hmm.
Eyes Without Face also.
Okay.
Sexy song.
Right.
Yes. And technically a Gen X song, but he also released it later on. Dancing with Myself.
I love that song. Love that. A lot of the stuff when you listen.
I could have picked a dozen Gen X songs.
I know it. They were great. They were great. A lot of Billy Idol stuff when you go back and listen to it. There's a lot of keyboards in there.
Yes.
A lot of electronic drums and. But Steve Stevens makes them rock.
Yeah.
Yes.
He just takes over that stuff. It's just amazing to me.
Gives him some street cred.
Yeah.
Which is great because I love lots of guitar.
Lots of guitar. And I was just reading an article about Steve Stevens and Billy Idol. And Billy Idol was talking about how when they were on a roll, Steve Stevens just took them to the stratosphere. He just, when they were gelling live, it just, there was no stopping them. And,
Little plug for those guys live.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Great band to see.
Absolutely. He still brings it.
Oh, yeah.
They're still great. Absolutely great. Do not be afraid to drop down a few bucks and go see those guys.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, let's move on. I've got a band called On the Sun, Chicago, Illinois, I believe they're out of. The album is called Drag. Song I'm going to play for you is Sweet Little Number. The band consists of Derek Alt on vocals, Fred Netten on bass, JJ Boogie Satowski on guitars, and Matt Torosi on drums. They were formed in 2018. They've got a EP out called Solar Savior. And then this new album, Drag, came out in March of this year. And again, the song is Sweet Little Number. It goes like this. Your feather, you spin all around. on the Sun with Sweet Little Number. Jerry, what do you think?
I like it. That is good old-fashioned rock and roll. Very clearly recorded. You can hear the lyrics. You know what he's saying. All instruments up front. I don't believe there's anything lacking in that. So, yeah, I like that very much. Yeah.
Jim, what do you say?
Gritty as heck. Right? Love the slide. I know why you loved it.
Right.
Because I'm listening to it repeat that lick.
Love the riff. Yeah.
Listen to that riff through there. And like I was just noticing like sort of weird juxtaposition of like how gritty it is, but like when he gets to the chorus, that sweet little number, mm-hmm. right? It's very smooth, and
I got a little bit of
a contrast with the grittiness of the song.
Yeah. I got a little bit of a Fog Hat vibe off of that tune because of the slide guitar, the vocal style, yeah. Just a little bit.
I'll give you that. Yep.
I found them on Bandcamp under a tag of Stoner Rock. And
oh, wow, man.
Oh, so sweet little number. Rolling maybe numbers, sweet, rock maybe. And rolling.
I'm getting
got
to
their
where,
Kiss records out.
Got my Kiss records out. Yeah.
I'm starting to like that tag. I'm finding a lot of cool bands that
oh,
way.
Man.
You can check these guys out. They're on iTunes.
Participate. Yeah.
That's right.
They sound like straight up bar band to me. I don't know. I don't know that stoner.
That's good.
They create their own tags, right?
Right. Yeah. They do.
Okay.
But check out the rest of the album, Drag, and you'll see there's some real gritty stuff that a little bit longer and repetitive, and puts it in that stoner vibe. You know.
Who am I to argue with them?
There you go.
That's right.
There you go. Well, that's on
identify
Sun.
However you want.
There
that's
you
right. We don't mind.
All right. Well, let's make sure everybody checks them out when you get a chance.
On the Sun. Yeah.
Cool, cool.
All right. Before we get to Jim and his band this week, let's talk about Jerry's classic album pick, shall we?
Yes, Jim and Frank. It's the debut album of Aldo Nova, 1981. And I know he didn't take the same route as Van Halen, but I remember exactly where I was when I first heard Fantasy on the radio. Kind of mind-blowing, and I don't know why. There were similar bands out there, but just the sound, it was bombastic. It was, I don't know, maybe it started with the intro, the helicopter coming in, or whatever. I don't know, but those opening chords, those opening licks were just, even now, folks on Conspiracy Land, I'm getting goosebumpy. But it was just so huge back then. And again, they're like Frank mentioned at the start of the show, we were all there in high school with the debut of Aldo Nova.
Yeah.
And on the re-listen, it seems to me it's even better. You know, it's just good stuff. It's good old fashioned rock and roll. I like it. And I remember when I first heard the first single off the album. It's just like when I first heard Eruption, or You Really Got Me. I remember exactly where I was when I first heard it, and it was like, oh, wow. So, yeah, Aldo Nova debut, 1981. Mm-hmm.
Fantasy was one of those songs that just took the radio by storm.
It sure did.
There was a lot of good music going on when this came out.
There was.
Is it 81 or 82?
81, I have.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure, well, I remember where it was. I was still in high school. So it's got to be 81.
So it had to be 81. That's when we got out.
We were out. Yeah, we were out. 82,
I just remember.
excuse me.
Fantasy, like I said, it was one of those songs that's such heavy rotation. And I'm looking at it now. It's over 5 minutes long, too. So as we
catch that back then,
back then, but it seemed like in the 80s some of those songs were a little bit longer,
because
you had to have time for your guitar solo, your keyboard solo, a little
DJ
bit of
had to go DJ had to go to the bathroom, long switch
intros.
The LPs around,
I'll jump right in to say Fantasy is my favorite song on this album. I gave it a re-listen, and It does have, we talked about it before, how Robert Plant took us back to the 80s with his solo stuff. this does for me as well, only because the production, the way it is, it's got that 80s reverb and sound that just is everywhere. Yeah, and Fantasy was my favorite song on that album. Jim, what did you think of the album?
Oddly, I remember exactly where I was when I heard Fantasy too.
Isn't that weird, yeah.
It's that weird.
Yeah. I had just pulled up into the to Guard's Music Shop. And as I was just pulling up, I don't even remember, had to be KLOS or KMET, one of the two. This is brand new from an artist named Aldo Nova. And it started that long kind of intro thing with the helicopter and everything else like that. Like, wow, this is weird. And so like I just sat there in the car. And then, you know, when the song kicked in, it didn't sound like anything else.
No.
It was really just so different. I had to just sit there and listen to the whole song.
Same.
And same with me. It's my favorite song on the record.
I think it's the strongest song on the record.
I think it's the best produced song on the record, or maybe the best engineered song on the record. When I listen to that album, the production on that record is kind of what became the standard by, like, say, 1988.
Right.
But Fantasy is a heavier song than anything else on the record, I think.
Seems that way.
Everything else seems a little too watered down. I don't know.
You've got...
And the songwriting's okay. It's not bad.
This is the album.
It seems light to me.
This is the album that he did everything, you know, played all the instruments. So you wonder how long it took him. It's his first major album. It's release. So you wonder how long it took him to put all this together. It wasn't like the digital days where you could record something and throw it on your hard drive and move it from room
one side
to room.
The
cut and paste wasn't really, you could do it. You spliced.
Yeah.
But holy moly. That was a whole thing in itself.
And so I think he was already doing studio work for other people.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he played John Lennon in Beatlemania, at least somewhere.
Oh, really?
Okay. Now, Jerry, I know Fantasy is not your favorite song. Which was on this album?
Well, just not that it's bad. I think a little overplay there, but It's Too Late is my favorite.
Uh-huh.
I just like where it goes. I like the lyric. I just like that.
Yeah.
The background, the vocals, what he's saying.
Right.
And his phrasing, the way he phrases certain words. I like it.
Now I don't want to sound like I'm pigeonholing Aldo Nova or anything, but when you listen to some of this, do you get a early Bon Jovi vibe from the style of music that Aldo Nova did on this album alone? Do you think he influenced him at all?
May have.
I don't know. I didn't go to that.
Yeah, I did the second or third time I listened through. I was like, why is this sounding like something I've heard more recently? And then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, Bon Jovi came to mind. It was its own style. Don't get me wrong. Bon Jovi, you know.
Probably valid.
But it's not.
Well, the keyboard part I'll accept. Yeah, the keyboard. Just the way, you know.
I mean, why? I guess why not?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, he's roughly our age, right? He would have been listening to the exact same stuff we would have been listening to. And
probably.
When did Bon Jovi explode? Like 6 years later, he exploded. So, yeah.
Took the time to put a keyboard in his band. So.
Right. Could be.
That's something I would have done, but
no.
Something I never did.
Well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's Aldo Nova. And Jim, I know you've got the next pick for the classic album.
You want it now or you want to wait?
Well, let's wait because we also have to get your band for our top three also. So we'll do that at the same time. But right now, let's talk about your band for this week.
Okay. Yeah. So for this week, Tony Marisco, ex of legendary punk band, the Plugs, and also plays in the Crusados, who we featured just not too long ago. Only a few episodes back, I think.
Wasn't too long ago.
Okay. Anyway, he's got a new EP out called Sleepwalker. This is called Guilty of That. So go ahead and drop the needle in the groove there, Frank.
Tony Morisco, Guilty of That. Did Jerry? I know he loved that.
Oh, every single bit of that.
As soon as I heard it, I knew Jerry was going to love it.
Oh man. Tony Morisco, bass and vocals like, from the Cruzados. Yeah.
Wow. Jangly Rickenbackers? Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They got heard ones that I don't like. They got a, I don't know, but when they lay it out a certain way, it's instant.
Yeah.
It's instant. So I don't know what I heard growing up. I don't know. Oh, that was a beautiful tune. I mean, man.
That's one of those songs if you were sitting at
still
a pizza parlor.
Still out there, folks. Still out
would
there,
throw
folks.
That on the jukebox.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
sweet. And that, I was just listening again, that. You know, it doesn't need any burn in the solo section, right? Nope. It's just nice little melodic lines. Running.
Those jangly chords were the solo. Just
that's beautiful.
Playing them out, letting them ring. Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. That music and those, that songwriting is something that you just don't hear very much anymore. Anyways.
And to think that it's still out there, gentlemen. And current, and you know, folks on Conspiracy Land, that song wasn't 3 seconds old, and I was just warm and fuzzy.
From the first chord, you were gone. Yeah.
as soon as it kicks, I'm like, oh wow. Don't tell me there's no music out there. Don't tell me that.
Very good.
Beautiful. Beautiful, Jaime.
All right. Jim, what band would you like us to pick 3 songs from for the next episode, or maybe the episode after next? Because I think the next episode we're going to do a quick little Christmas bonus thing.
Right. Yep. So I was in a bookstore last week and I came across the Geddy Lee's got a new autobiography out called My F Life.
Oh.
And so I thought, how about our 3 favorite Rush songs?
All right. Have you ever seen, I forget the name of the documentary on them, the Rush documentary. It came pretty much when they were finishing up that one major 40-year tour or whatever it was, the 40th anniversary year. And it starts back when they were kids. It goes into each of their houses. Yeah. When they were young, and they were all nerds. They were all
What was
nerds.
That? Yeah.
It's a great doc.
Our Rush fans will love it.
I remember seeing that. Yes.
I sat down and watched that whole thing, and I'm thinking, how do 3 completely nerdy guys, they were not your regular kids by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-mm. How do they come together like that? And I know they're in Canada, and they're in reasonable proximity of each other, but for them to gel together the way they did is just, it was meant
to be. That sounds like us.
Yeah.
That sounds like us. All right.
Yeah. It is a great documentary though to watch if you ever get a chance.
I'm trying to think where I saw that. I loved it. Yeah.
Okay. 3 Rush songs. That's going to take a couple weeks because that's all big catalog.
Yes, it is.
It spans a lot of different music. I was just reading the other day, someone was asking about Rush, and there's a certain point where a lot of Rush fans got turned off. I think when Rush got mature, and after a certain album, they kind of like, I didn't care for it because they're not rocking as hard. They did a lot of mellower music. They did a stretch of album, you know, a few albums that were not the hard rockers.
It became more keyboard influence.
Keyboardy. Yeah.
Keyboardy. Perfect. Yep.
But I can go back and listen to any of those. Wow.
That's bad. Yeah.
No, they're just 3 great musicians. Love that band.
3 guys putting out that sound. Woo.
Yeah.
They're kind of a love them or hate them band almost.
Pretty much.
Well, my issue when I was younger was I didn't understand a lot of the lyrics. They were deep.
We weren't.
I know I wasn't. No.
Jaime's probably the deepest of all of us folks on Conspiracy Land, but I remember going
deep sleep.
What?
No. Deep sleep. Okay. So that'll be Rush's favorite 3 songs. And then while we're at it, pick a classic album for us to revisit and talk about.
Okay. We are going to go back to some hard rock. Mm. 1988. Queensryche, Operation Mindcrime.
Oh, yes.
One of my favorites.
Yeah.
I listen to that quite a bit. It's one of those albums. It starts off super strong and it's a total concept album, and you have to listen to it all the way through. You just have to, because it's telling you a story the whole way. And it's funny. What'd that come out? 80 what?
88.
88. We're now in 2023, and the message is probably just as important today as it
probably
was
more,
then.
Yeah. Probably more clear.
Yeah. But looking back at Queensryche's albums, Empire and all that, they had their finger on the pulse of what was going on, or what at least they thought was going on in government and whatnot. So they have a great story to tell. So Operation Mindcrime, I'm looking forward to that.
A favorite record, and I think kind of the record that kind of put them over the, made them like the household name.
Yes. Yeah. I'd have to say so. And you talk about Jim Ladd earlier. I remember when their EP came out, and The Lady Wore Black and Queen of the Reich. Oh my goodness. They would play them on KLOS, KMET. And those are certain bands that we felt like we were privy to them breaking. Queensryche, Rat, Great White, other LA bands that came out, you know, and this was after Van Halen, of course, but
yes,
Motley Crue, those bands were played on local LA radio.
And way before, yeah.
It was cool because Queensryche wasn't an LA band. They were a Seattle band, right? Washington, yeah. It's like, holy cow, these guys fit right in. They were different, but yet they were rockers.
Yes.
You know, and excellent. And like you said, Operation Mindcrime, what an album. What an album.
Yeah.
Love it. So, all right. I'm looking forward to that by far.
Good.
You guys got your Christmas shopping done, everything you need to do, get your cards sent out and everything else?
But mostly.
Yeah.
Nope.
I just
have the wonderful new girlfriend and my daughter, my adult daughter.
That's perfect.
In Portland. So it's two Christmas cards, max three. Well, you two, of course. And then with the daughter at her age, you don't buy toys or anything. You Christmas card and a check.
Right.
You know, and so I can literally wait till probably 2-3 more days and then put it in the mail.
I wouldn't wait too long there, brother.
Things are slowed down.
It'll look like I planned it. Yeah.
Yeah. They're liable to get it by New Year's. That's perfect.
Well, yeah. Speaking of that, I had a card come back undeliverable to, you know, love. Huh. And it's got the thing on it. And I said, well, I don't understand. It was a card. Mm-hmm. It was our anniversary card. We're at 1 year, folks, out in Conspiracy Land. And I said, did you get it yet? And I go to the post office, folks, on Conspiracy Land, walk inside and put it in the thingy. Never got it. Came back 8 days later, undeliverable to this address. And I go, this is your address, right? She goes, yeah. But where she's at, folks, she says, oh, no, they mess stuff up all the time. This post office here. So, you know.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
I tell my mailman, he's been our regular guy for a while. And we have the community mailbox where you have to go out and get, you know, your number or whatever. And so on his days off, I have to stand there while I look out the door. I'm retired, so I wait for the mailman to show up. And I walk out there and I make them kind of go through it, because if I'm not there, I get other people's mail on a regular basis.
Uh-huh.
So I told my mailman, regret to inform you, you're not going to be able to retire because I need my mail. You know,
you're the only guy who can do it.
Yeah, and he told me
proper. Yeah.
He apologized because he's going on vacation. Of course, he's got the seniority to be off Christmas and New Year's.
Absolutely.
So I said, so now I got to go out there every day, you know, and look over these people like the old man. And
it's a gambit. Yeah, it's a gambit.
Because you get somebody different every day, and they don't care. They're just throwing them in the boxes. So
they tell you go back in the house, boomer.
Yep, the boomer. Whoa. That's right.
Right.
Stand on your own lawn. Yeah. Well,
I was on the boomers today, folks.
I have the.
I'm bitter today. Dang it.
I have the informed delivery.
A little salty. So
exactly what I'm getting.
What do you do when you have vinyl show up? They don't deliver that to your house, do they?
There are two large boxes at the bottom of the community.
They
box,
have a big,
and they give you a key.
Big,
they put a key in your mailbox, and then you go down below and open it up.
Oh.
And then the key cannot be removed once it's put in.
Yeah.
Now, every once in a while,
you open it up, and then the key just stays right there.
Every once in a while, you get a mail person who's not quite sure how locks work, and they put the record right up against the lock so it won't even turn. So now I have to wait for them to come up back the way on the other side of the street, walk over there and say, on the job training time, Junior, let's go. And then they come back. Oh, and they have to open up the whole big box.
Going to gash the record if you try to open it too firmly. Yeah.
And there's
probably Gen Z.
I wouldn't doubt it. I it's always different, but
I'm still old school. I got me a porch and a mailbox.
Yeah.
And when I get the LP, it's on a little thingy leaning up against my porch. And now I will, without fail, put it against my screen door so that I have to knock it over.
Right.
To get it.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever.
It's,
I got me a porch now in my own mailbox.
That's good. Very good.
Yeah.
All right, Jerry. Well, if you don't have anything else, what do you got to say?
Folks out in conspiracy land, my co-host Jim and Frank, it's out there. It's out there. Even during the holiday season, it gets better. We got the Decadence, On the Sun, Tony Marisco.
Marisco.
And it's out there, folks. Just good jamming music. You heard the tunes. It's out there, and we appreciate you listening for another another show. And keep rocking, and we love you very much. And thank you very much for listening and watching the show. Keep rocking. Thank you.
All right. Well, you know, I try to say everything I can say during the show, so all I will say is stay fresh, cheese bags.
He gets me every time, Jaime. I keep forgetting about that.
Jim, what about you?
Keep forgetting about that.
Tonight's the first night I expected him to say.
I keep forgetting about it.
Well, it's the same thing. If you made it here this far and you like what you heard, smash that like button, subscribe, ring that notification bell, slide into your DMs almost every 2 weeks.
Almost.
Not always, but pretty much every 2 weeks when it works out.
Yeah,
give or take,
and it doesn't cost nothing.
No,
just move that mouse up there. Go subscribe.
Yeah, I think we subscribe too. Yep. I think we were down one.
We're over to 200.
Yeah, we were at 205 for a few weeks. Now we're down to 204. Probably
so does that mean
slide
somebody,
in enough.
Does that mean somebody unsubscribes?
Somebody,
hang on.
Yeah.
Does that mean somebody unsubscribes?
Yeah, somebody did.
Somebody,
if I find out who it is, I'm going to go to their house and punch them in the throat.
I'll go with you. Take
me
with
you. Hey, okay. Hey, violence is not the answer, ever. No,
ever.
Well, when you unsubscribe for the JFJ Conspiracy Podcast, it is, Jaime.
No, we just invite him back. Just put an arm around him and say, hey.
You know what? You know what, Frank? Frank, what's Jaime's always been like that, even in high school. Jaime was the lover, not the fighter.
I know.
Bless you, Jaime. Yep. He's right. He's absolutely right.
All right.
Frank and I's tempers got the best of us.
There's already too much violence in the world.
Don't unsubscribe. Don't.
Yeah.
Or it Frank will sad. Cut you down.
Yeah. Punch in the mouth. Yeah.
Just makes me sad. All right. Well, if you don't have anything else, Jim, why don't you take us on home?
Shop is closed.
Hang on. I just heard recording in progress. I have to physically touch my ice cream mini that says leave meeting or got it.
Got it.
I'm going to push got it.
All right.
Excellent.
All right. Yeah. I don't know how all three of us faced that.